Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Good evening and welcome to all our admirable friends out there.
Good evening. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing well. So I have to say, I'm kind of laughing. Excuse me, because just before we started to go on air, I said, you know, I really don't think I need to introduce myself because they know it's Admirable Friends with Buddy and Carol. So the only thing I would have to say is, you know, I'm not Buddy or...
I'm Carol. Might be the simplest.
So I just thought that was
kind of Buddy.
Overkill.
So, well, we're back again.
We are, and gratefully so, back.
And tonight's show is a challenge.
It's not one of the easier topics to discuss. I don't think... It's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. Let's call it what it is. It's called excess and restraint. And we're going to spend most of our time talking about restraint.
Yeah.
It's not in our vocabulary.
No. Not a happy place everybody wants to be.
If there was ever denial, it's all around this mind quality.
Yes. And that's why it's a little difficult to the subject to broach and dance around and calling it what it is. And
but I think I'm encouraged, in fact, that we can really demonstrate and begin that conversation as to just how important a subject it is. It's not only the hardest, but it's really right at the heart of making great progress.
It is. It is. And I agree with you because it's one of those letting go qualities.
Yes.
So that's kind of one of those groupings that's very important to the ideal mind quality.
And that's the second and last let it go quality under the category letting go qualities of the 10 ideal mind qualities. And last week we covered generosity.
We did.
And it was a great show. Everybody liked it. We got great comments.
We got a lot of great feedback for generosity. I think that resonates with a lot of people.
Well, it's a great sign that fundamental aspect of generosity is there with everybody. And they can really touch it and relate to it.
Right.
From what I've experienced, both as a practitioner and kind of as a facilitator, if you don't have that tendency for generosity, this is a very difficult path to embark on. It's kind of like the fundamentals of mind development, is that generous mind. And as we closed with the show, we talked about it being kind of an antidote to the wanting mind. And that's why I think it's... Now we have to let go of the wanting mind through the restraint discussion.
Yes.
So get ready, folks. We're going to cover the big one. It's on restraint and excesses.
Yeah. And
contrary to public consumption and belief, we cannot have our cake and eat it too.
How disappointing. I think
I'll survive. Did you ever hear the difference between the East and the West where they say kill two birds with one stone? And then the East, they say, no, kill one bird, one stone.
I know.
It's the old cake and eat it.
I know.
All right.
We'll get to that.
Carol, if you don't mind, how about you start the gratitudes tonight?
Oh, yes. I will start what I'm grateful for. And this is, I am grateful for one of my coworkers. And
don't mention her name.
I'm not going to mention her name. I won't.
Okay.
I don't think she realizes just how much of an admirable friend she is. But it's been wonderful to have her in my work space because it makes going to work so enjoyable.
That's terrific.
Yeah, she's just a wonderful young lady, and I'm just really grateful to be working side by side with her. I mean,
you're able to draft off her.
I am. And I appreciate, I say to her every night, thanks for all your help today. I really couldn't have done it without you. And I mean it, because the little things that she does are just very helpful and uplifting. And
it is something to be grateful for, because we wouldn't have really an admirable friends hookup if we all were surrounded at work with admirable friends. So the fact that you have an admirable friend.
I know, I'm very lucky.
You're fortunate.
I am. So that's what I'm grateful for. How about you?
Short one this tonight. I'm grateful for freedom, the freedom to choose. I just recognize that more and more during the day as I practice and continue to go down this path towards reliable happiness. That choice is there all the time and don't always make it. So, and when I do make the poor choice, I'm aware of it. It doesn't hurt as much, but just that ability to choose is what I'm grateful for.
Nice.
And being aware and having that capacity to choose.
Very nice.
You know, when I compare to what you do with your dog, and you put him behind in a confined area when we leave for work, he doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Right? But if he had too much choices, he was having trouble, wasn't he?
He was. He just was left to his own devices and just didn't have things put into context. So
I made
that choice for him.
But that freedom to choose, to make better choices, to help liberate ourselves, is a... that's what I'm grateful for. And it's not just mine, it's everyone's.
Sweet. That's very nice.
Okay, let's just recap if we can with greed and generosity, realizing we have a big topic to cover tonight. And
we
by
do,
the way,
so.
Let's just make sure that any admirable friend listeners that want to call in, feel free to call in anytime during the show, as well as we have our Facebook group out. So if you want to type as a comment or start a feed in the Facebook page and want to relate to us during the show, we have this up and we're looking at it as well.
And so. I always seem to forget as we're closing, because time just seems to fly by so quickly, that if someone wants to get in touch with us by email, they can email us at hello@admirablefriends.org. That'll go to the main Admirable Friends email.
Yes, and also now our website is a little bit more developed. You can go to www.admirablefriends.org and request a free membership to this entire curriculum. All they have to do is hit the button and we'll send them a free membership, and they have access to all this information in an interactive way, and we'll be expanding that to have a social networking. So we can communicate online with our admirable friends, and we can interact and during the show.
Nice.
So it's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. Okay, Carol, if you could
recap. All right, so last week we spoke about greed and generosity, and we were saying that generosity resonated with a lot of people. But we were talking about the generosity. Well, it started historically. You started off by saying historically we're very conditioned to be on the receiving end of someone's generosity, because as infants, we tend to receive and depend on others for our growth and survival. And then once we get older, we start learning the process of sharing or bartering or what's the word I'm looking
trade.
For?
Trade.
Yes, thank you, trade. So that's...
when we perfect the trade.
We have perfected the trade. But
and it's not
need,
that we try to stop trading. We just wanted to bring and introduce a new form of a gift.
Right, which is an unconditional giving. Right. So that was...
And the reason I brought that up, Carol, is because we're going to get to that concept of trade when we discuss restraint today. We're going to have to use that skill of trading.
Very nice little...
So we'll go back to that.
But. Okay. But we were talking about the unconditional gift as one of those things that was a tangible gift of or a thought, word, or action that has no sense of obligation attached to it. So it's an expression of complete freedom of choice that brings about results in the sense of it creates a good feeling of your mind. It acts to create a sense of spaciousness in your mind. It builds an admirable quality trait. It gives you a feeling of when you're giving unconditionally, it's a sign of like inner wealth. I've got enough, so it doesn't matter that I share. I'm not losing out on this one. It's just a outward gift. So did I pretty much cover that? Or?
It covers it. And like I said, it's the ultimate antidote to the wanting mind, and that which lies at one of the main causes of our stresses, our internal stresses, is the wanting.
Right, because you can't be wanting and taking while you're giving.
No, so you end up learning how not to want. So that's one, that's a form of restraint, because you're not wanting something while you're giving. And the more we talk through all of these eight, we'll find the 10 mind qualities, they are interweaving and related.
Yes, they are.
But it's nice to zero in on a particular topic and a particular structure like restraint. And we are ready to do that. Let's cover the definition first. It's the ability to choose under control or within limits. Skillful restraint involves trading unnecessary external sensory pleasures for internal sensory pleasures. Now, I'm sure that's going to bring a lot of questions to our audience what that is, but we'll define that as we go. But it's important to know that we're not talking about restraining from unhealthy relationships or a controlling mind. That's a typical...
That's a psychology thing that needs to be addressed by...
a psychotherapist. That's
sure.
Not what we're talking about.
No.
We're talking about restraining from our attachment to sensual pleasures. Not necessarily the pleasures of the world that we experience, but it's that desire for that pleasure.
The chasing, the wanting, the craving.
Yeah. And... you know, as we go through the definition of that, why don't we just cover that subject? You know, there's a difference between the wanting of a particular pleasurable experience.
Yes.
And the experience of that pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're going to call the wanting as craving and the actual attachment to the pleasure itself as the clinging. Now, the craving would precede the clinging.
Yes.
And the thing that we're trying to let go as a let-go quality of exercising restraint is letting go of that craving, right? That doesn't mean that we want to give up all of our pleasures or not be there to enjoy a nice smelling flower or a day at the beach or a fun canoe ride, right?
Right.
It's the attachment to those, meaning that pressure to want it.
Well, that builds in a whole lot of stress that just can bury you, really. I mean,
well,
because then you're obsessed with it. You just...
Why don't you bring up our experience with our goal with this weekend, with what we had for a goal when we went camping, and how that experience plays out?
The goal? I'm at a loss.
It's only 2 days ago, Karen.
Am I eating?
Rewarded me at the end of the thing saying, you set the goal beautifully going into camp. Because,
oh, right. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. When I recall that when you said in the car, I just want this weekend. I don't want to do anything this weekend. I don't want to run around. I just want to relax and be peaceful.
Okay.
So that was the goal that you set when you went.
Right.
And I recall as we were coming home, I think we both said that we found the weekend to be very relaxing and peaceful because we weren't trying to fill the day up with, I want to do this and make sure we do this and how can I do this? Because there were a lot of things that are, a lot of activities that we could have.
Well, the outcome that we set was kind of the process. It wasn't an outcome like, I want to go on that canoe ride. I want to get up early in the morning. I want to make sure that we get in some hiking. You know, all of these outcomes.
Right.
It was more of a process of enjoying the, and it was something that we could really work towards, and we did, and it was easy, and it wasn't as stressful. So it was
a
skillful kind of objective.
That was the beauty of the whole thing. It was
right.
The most stressless weekend.
Whereas if we set an outcome to be, we've got to get up early in the morning to canoe. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's raining the next morning, or it's windy and there's too much movement in the water. That was something we couldn't control, and we'd be thinking about it. Yeah, we got to get up early. We could end up not staying the evening before and enjoying the evening before, because all we could think about is getting up early in the morning.
It has a whole lot of built-in things that are just messes up the whole thing.
So that would have been, we were so attached to the craving of the weekend.
Yes.
Then enjoying the pleasure of the event. So when we talk about restraining, we're talking about restraining that particular craving and learning what that means. And there's that discernment again, because you're going to have to pay attention to your life and to these events.
Right.
Because we're conditioned to crave and want more and more. And the unfortunate aspect of craving is craving begets more craving.
You know? Conditionally, because it feels good. Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about the committee of the mind and the little guys at the executive board, yeah. You know, you've let one guy get his way, so he's Mr. Pleasure that always gets his way, and it's hard to deny. I mean,
and before you know it, you're more excited about the order, the package arriving from Amazon versus what it is you ordered. It's just that attachment to getting something.
Yeah.
Right? It's got that texture to it. Doesn't that feel stressful when you think about it?
Yeah, it's kind of built in.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking at the door, you're waiting for the doorbell, you're listening for the truck, you know, all those things that are built in. That's stress.
So again, and we're not talking about denying ourselves pleasure or having a, what was the word that we used?
I think it's temper.
Pain. We're not suggesting we replace pleasure with pain.
Oh, no.
No.
No, it's just having it more tempered, seeing it for what it
well,
really
again,
is.
Tempering the passion for the pleasure.
Correct.
And then the pleasures will sort themselves out, and they'll be just in time, in a real-time mode, when you can experience and enjoy them.
And you'll be able to experience and enjoy it fully.
Well, here's a great example. Remember how we used to prepare for a vacation, and we used to get so worked up preparing for the vacation? That was the craving, right? And then we couldn't even enjoy it, because you spent so much time organizing everything for the vacation. When it came to enjoying it, you couldn't enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, and another thing, too, is I keep going back to the time that I took that road trip with my sister, remember? And I told you that we had no plan whatsoever.
Right.
The only restrictions were, we're going to head west, we've got a week to do it, and whatever we see and do in that week. And it turned out to be the most magical vacation, because there wasn't a whole big checkoff list. We're going to stop here tonight. We're going to drive so many miles. Tomorrow, we got to see this, you know, stop at this monument and this thing and read this thing. We did some of the most incredible things that I would never have even written down on a piece of paper to say, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this. It was just so...
You were free to enjoy those pleasures.
Absolutely.
Right. There wasn't any of the wanting mind in the way of just experiencing it.
Right. And everything was such a great experience because it just wasn't even planned. It was just, let's try this, and oh, let's go down here and take a right here. I don't know where it's going to go, but, and then we'd get up there and we'd say.
You see, these are all, and I hope our audience can relate to this, because when we first hear about restraint, and we first hear about restraint, or heaven be it, the word renunciation, right?
Right.
Everybody gets, oh.
Well, it sounds painful.
It sounds painful.
It does.
But there's such a relief and freedom associated with giving these things up.
And it doesn't mean you're bad either. Like, you know, you've got to restrain yourself or you've got to renunciate. I mean, that kind of sounds like, you know, you've been bad or something, like you're being scolded or something. You've done something wrong. But that's not the case.
No, it's not at all. It's but I think restraint is a little softer way than saying renunciate, so let's stick
just
with restraint.
Kind of holding you back a little. Just
kind of keep it under control.
Well, see, that was the thing. I made note of that when the definition came out. The ability to choose under control. That's a tall order.
It is, but again, like anything else that we're advising in our own practice, this is chewing one bite at a time to eat the elephant. Mm-hmm. You make little strides as you go. This is a progressive practice. Take one of these mind qualities and work on it for the week.
Right.
Like last week, we were going to work on generosity, right? We worked on generosity. Yeah, you're nodding your head. We forgot a little bit about generosity. If we're going to be honest with our audience, we forgot a little bit about generosity, didn't we?
I don't recall that I worked on it as much as I had planned to when I signed off on Tuesday night. I have to,
Well, they'll always relate to us. As long as we're honest, people will relate to us. This is not an easy thing.
I dropped the ball, but, you know.
It's okay.
I get it.
So, let's introduce that concept of trade that I kind of interjected when you were discussing the new form of gifting,
right.
giving
yeah,
without trading.
Right.
But I said, let's remember that skill of trading because we'll become professional traders.
Yes.
So how do we trade in relation to skillfully letting go of craving, our cravings?
Well, you want to give up. You want to restrain from a craving that would leave harm to yourself or others, but replace it.
Replace
with a more skillful pleasure.
Okay, what
pleasure.
Would be a more skillful pleasure? It's right there in the definition. Now go back to the definition. Skillful restraint involves trading unnecessary external sensory pleasures for internal sensory pleasures.
Well, you have to now substitute or develop an internal pleasure system so that
okay.
you're not relying
on the
external
pleasures. Hey, what is that internal sensory pleasure you're talking about? I have no idea. What is that?
Well, for me, it's my breath, going back to my breath,
okay.
cultivating that, kind of not letting myself get away, horses going to the races kind of thing, getting away from myself.
And what does that mean to cultivate that or develop that?
Well, it's like you said, it's a practice. It's one foot in front of the other and just...
So it's an exercise you do.
It is. It is an exercise for me. It might be reflective. For some people, it's a reflection on a daily basis.
Prayer.
It could be a contemplative prayer. It could be meditation. For me, in particular, it's a meditation. But it doesn't necessarily have to be for others. It could be a sitting meditation. It could be a walking meditation. It could be...
A recollection of the Holy Spirit being within us.
Absolutely.
Anything that would ground us in internal... awareness versus trying to meet those external demands, right, would help us as a trade. So we begin to be comfortable in that inner being, which gives us a place to stop, look, and listen.
It's a go-to.
Yeah, and really choose.
Yes.
That freedom is through that cultivation of that space. And if we're really honest with ourselves, we'll realize that everyday living doesn't afford us that opportunity to cultivate that space.
Right.
This is something we have to do.
I can't remember where I read this, but and I brought this to your attention, and then I just totally forgot to print it off and do it. Remember, somebody was explaining what mindfulness was or breath meditation or some sort of reflective, and she said, the author said it was like being in the middle, in the eye of the tornado.
Yes.
Where the calm is, where everything else is swirling around outside of you, the eye is the where the calm is. And she said that's where the centering is. So I thought that was, I mean, I thought that visual for me was just great.
No, it is. And I think, well, one thing we, out of those 10 ideal mind qualities, only two relate to meditation. This is one of them. And the other one will be equanimity, which will be the 10th lesson that we deal with. Okay? So restraint, the reason why it involves meditation or some level of contemplation is it's darn hard just to say no.
There's so many temptations.
Yeah, and so many
options,
reasons to crave.
Temptations, offerings, everything.
Yeah.
We're just bombarded by stimuli.
And the idea that we're going to rid ourselves of human desire is a ridiculous notion.
Yes.
Desire is there. So the question is, how do we skillfully direct our desire?
Because if you just said, restrain from human, just from desire.
That's not going
to
happen.
You wouldn't even start. That's just not even practical.
You'd be a zombie.
Just not even practical.
No, it's not practical. So you have to decide, just saying no, you can grit it out. But then you have to say, for what purpose? Whereas if we're really realistic about our experience, we need to develop friends with our inner being and the pleasantries associated with that. We have to perceive it that way, practice it that way, and learn to enjoy it. He used to say it to me all the time, buddy, you can be knee deep in you know what, and you're going to find a pony. Right?
Yes.
It's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Well, the pleasure for me, and you know me, I've been runaway desire from the get-go as a businessman and craving. I'm conditioned that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned how I have to develop myself internally. And it works. It really works. Even though it started with 2 minutes of quiet time, and that was a very painful experience for me, it just works. It is the only safe haven I have to run away wants. I admit it, folks. My hand's up. I admit it. I'm an alcoholic. No, I am addicted to desire. And I've got to direct the desire to be more skillfully done, better choices. And that internal friend that I've developed in my practice has been my savior. You know, it's helped me sort these issues out. And let's just talk a moment so those who in our audience that have meditated can be able to relate, and maybe those that have just starting or considering it. Let's just talk about the progression of what a meditation or a quiet contemplation is. You know, we first start with a single point, much like a hypnotist does when they wiggle a watch in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That inner single point is best being the breath, and we draw our attention to our breath. And every time our mind wanders, we bring it back to the breath. It's very difficult at first, isn't it, Carol?
It is, because you've got what's called monkey mind, and you just, like a monkey jumps from tree to tree to tree.
Right.
That's where your thoughts are. I mean, the minute you tell your mind to, it wants to go off and feed somewhere. So
you start with a couple minutes, and you bring it to a single point.
Yes.
It's a little difficult at first, but over time, the mind does weaken its grasp on all of this jumping around and finds comfort, especially if you start perceiving that single point and you breathe in such a way as you define it as an enjoyable experience, and you try to make it an enjoyable experience.
Yes.
So you'll start with a single point. You'll get some success there. And then once that's established in the practice, you learn how to, instead of defining breath in a gross form of air coming in and out of your nostrils or the movement of your abdomen, it would be a more subtle form. Let's call it breath energy. And you could think about the energy throughout your body and scan your body and begin to spread that awareness of that energy, which is expanding your awareness. So instead of you trying to hold everything to a single point while your mind wanders, the more you can expand that awareness to other aspects of the body, the more safeguard you have for jumping around with monkey mind.
Right. Now, but the thing with energy is I find that I have too little energy. You often say it's like a guitar string, you know.
Right.
It's either too loose or too tight.
Right.
So our meditations can be fundamentally opposite as far as, you know, you might need to tone your energy or
right.
kind of...
We're both managing energy levels.
Yes.
But it's awareness of energy. It's not that we're looking for a particular outcome of energy. We're just... Every time our mind wanders, we're bringing it back to that energy field. And then we can also extend that energy to proprioception, just an awareness of where your L4, your L5 in your back is, or where your elbows are when you're sitting, how your legs are crossed in posture, when your feet touching the ground when you're walking. Every time the mind wanders, you get grounded in the body, and you do this repeatedly to a point where you actually feel comfortable doing it. And there's a choice that says, well, I got this feeling that I want. I got this wanting mind going on here. And then I kind of go
take
to my
breath.
Body.
Take a breath.
Take a breath. You tell the kids this when they're young, don't you?
Yes.
And so the adults have to learn to do this as well.
But the beauty of it is, I mean, it's with you wherever you go. I mean, as long as you live, as long as you're breathing, you got it with you. So.
Well, that's why it's easy to do that. And saying music, because you can't, you know, you've got your MP3 player and it runs out of batteries on the top of your mountain climb.
Yeah.
Whereas your breath is with you all the time. Your breath is with you. No matter how sick you are in bed, you can tune to your breath.
Yeah. That's the beauty of it.
You're waiting
for
a biopsy. Get to your breath. You'll find safe haven. You'll find peace. That mind will only think the worst of the biopsy, won't it?
It will.
Of course it will. It'll say, oh, I know me. That's going to come back. This is it. It's all over.
Yeah. Talk about suffering.
And this is stuff that I don't believe we can behave ourselves out of instantly as we get older. I think it's a progression that we have to, our mind is getting more untrained as we live under conventional means. That the only way to offset that, just like we're getting no stronger, we're losing muscle physically, unless we try to minimize that by doing some exercise, our minds are the same way. They're developing more and more bad habits as we live right. older.
But, I mean, we shouldn't give the impression that it's all hope is lost. That's not the case at all. It's
no,
never
you can
too late
start.
To start.
We're a living case. You and I are living proof of it.
Absolutely.
We started later on in life. But when I see kids and younger people that come to our meditation classes, it's just such a great feeling, isn't it?
Oh, you say, if I have only started meditation when in my 20s,
yeah,
it's brilliant. I just am so excited and hopeful for them to see, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, again, we can work with restraint without meditation, but it's certainly advised to develop some level of contemplation to balance out that letting go quality. And let's just kind of sit with that thought while we take a break here, and we'll be back in a minute or two.
Okay. See you on the other side.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
Well, we're back after our break with our admirable friends talking about restraint.
Excess and restraint.
Excess and restraint.
We don't need to talk too much about excess. We can all relate to that.
Well, we already, yeah. I mean, we're inundated with excesses every time we walk out the door.
Is it ever enough?
You know, I was thinking today, I'm trying to eat better. So it's very important every day that I'm, you know, mindful and everything today. And so I had somebody, one of the grad students came to my door today and said, Carol, I brought donuts in today. Would you like a donut? I thought I was going to throw myself on the floor. You know, and I said, thank you so much. That was, you know, inside saying, you know you want it. You know you want it. But the other part saying, you know it's bad. Mm. I'm just so addicted to sugar.
How'd the story end?
The story ends with him leaving and telling me that he thought...
And he left the $20 bill on the tip?
I felt good that I said no, and it actually didn't feel as bad as I thought it would, which really surprised me even more. I usually mourn the fact that I didn't have the donut after the fact. I go through this grieving process of, I really wanted it, because I feel I'm so addicted to sugar. That's my Achilles. But so anyways, I practiced restraint today on a donut. Does that count?
That's really good.
Does that count?
It totally does. Now, did you happen to need your breath or body at all to restrain from that donut, or was it an easy... No. Was it just guilt associated with the motivation?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of guilt involved, yeah. But for the most part, I didn't have any residual feeling, which was really... That's like I said, I usually just like, oh, it's okay, I can, you know... It was a trade. Usually there's a trade involved.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Trading candy for gold is what... the advanced practitioners in this type of area call it. They're trading candy for gold. The gold is the inner qualities and the inner peace. Yeah.
Well, it didn't hurt as much as I thought, letting it go and not having it. So it was like, well, no biggie.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
Well,
why don't we flip right into some tips to help with cravings?
Tips. So get your pens
out, folks. Write some tips down.
Well, it's funny because, like, I think right off the get-go is the talk about we can talk and think about the drawbacks of the addiction. So
okay. Let's relate that to the donut story.
Yeah, because I'm addicted to sugar. Okay. I'll be the first one to
So what would you have done? What would be the tip? Think about and talk and think about the drawbacks of the addiction. So what would that, give me that storyline or that narrative.
Well, the storyline would be I shouldn't have sugar. It's really bad for you. It could develop, you know, type 2 diabetes, or it adds, you know, unwanted calories or empty calories. They're not going to do you any good, you know.
So you would cultivate that committee member.
Yes.
To offset the one that's saying go for the donut, Karen.
Yeah, couldn't hurt. Just one. It won't hurt you.
Second tip, we can understand the principle of cause and effect. If we have true desire for reliable happiness, we won't let ourselves be attached to our addictions. Continue to reflect on the benefits of seeking a higher happiness.
So that's hard. You know, that's hard because it's hard to visualize the long term kind of thing, you know.
And bring it to your day.
I think it's the one thing about eating well and everything. It's like when you, it's one thing to look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, I want to lose 10 pounds because I want to fit into an outfit. But it's another thing to say, I want to lose weight or I want to eat better so that my internal organs that you can't see benefit. Because right. We all know that, obviously if there's fat on the inside, there's fat on the inside and it's just kind of, so.
But Toby, you've seen that fat on the inside.
I have.
It's not a pretty picture.
No, it's not. But, I mean, you would think after seeing that, I would be more inclined to not do it.
Would you say it presses against your organs?
It does. I mean, you just...
It's unhealthy.
It's uncomfortable. It's very unhealthy. But my point is, we tend to rely on the visual external.
Right.
That's an easier... That's like a tap-in, you know, versus the internal, which we can't see, which you'll reap great benefits from, like lower cholesterol, you know, lower blood sugar readings, things like that. But I personally don't think in those terms as often as I should.
Okay. Well, just as often as you should.
Well, I'd like to do it more. You know, I wish, you know. I mean, I think if I thought of it in those terms, I might be more inclined to deny myself or restrain from eating the bad food because I would see how, in the long term, the cause and effect really does create chaos.
Right.
No?
Yeah. It's just when you said often as I should, it sounded like you were really difficult being hard on yourself.
Who, me? Me? Be hard on myself? Well, I mean, I would. I'm not going to lie to you. I really would like to practice and be more, have the repetition be more so that it's a better behavior pattern.
Yeah.
So, it's just...
Okay.
That's it, sugar.
Let's go to the next one. When we attach to something, we have to figure out what the allure is. Sometimes we are very embarrassed about why. So you've got to cultivate or start to think about what is the allure? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Mm. Why am I making this choice? What is the allure to a donut?
Oh, I don't even think it's so much. I don't know. Yeah, I don't even think.
Let's take a caller. Got a couple there, so let's take a caller.
I'm getting off the hook with a caller. Thank you.
Let's take Linda on line one.
Hi, Linda.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good.
How are you?
Is this Linda?
Very good.
Linda with the candy.
Girl, I just wanted to mention about, you're struggling with how to avoid doing the sugar thing or the mind control thing on the food. And just a couple of things that I've come up with through conversation with other people who want to be healthy is thinking about not taking or not wanting to take medication. So if you take care of your body, then you don't, hopefully, will not have to take medication that would be costly, and that would curtail your healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
Just kind of like exercising would prevent, hopefully, maybe getting a hip replacement or a knee replacement because you're building bone. So that's why it's so good to eat healthy.
Yes.
And that's what I
think. That's a great example of cause and effect, especially that one about the medications, because I don't think we think in those terms of, you know, I think we're listening to some.
It costs money, though, and she's bringing up a good point. And
it
probably
does.
That hip surgery would cost some money, too, Linda, right? By the time you pay the deductible portion and everything else. So
that's a great example of cause and effect.
You know, if you don't want to walk around with a cane or a rollator or whatever it is, I mean, all of this is kind of far away, depending on how old you are. But at the same time, you can see other people, you know, in your daily life, going to the store or whatever, how hard it is maybe for someone to cross the street, or how hard it is for someone to get out of the car because of a condition they may have, and you just, oop, wait a second, I see that donut, or I see that candy bar, or I want to eat cookies, I'm just like, nope.
Yeah.
Linda, are you helping people with these conversations, or are you sometimes the recipient, or both? Is that happening at work, home?
Yeah, it's kind of, there's a couple people at work, actually quite a few younger people that work, and they all work out. So it's easy to have conversations like this with them, and, you know, they're young, and so they're open to ideas. And
yeah. Does this restraint thing come hard to you, or do you think because you're looking at it in the context of health and eating and diet, it's a concept that you can understand and digest? This idea of restraint.
Well, it certainly is not easy. It certainly is not easy, and it is something that I've only become aware of because I started attending those Thursday classes. When you had mentioned sometime in that one of those classes that I attended about restraint, and so I wasn't really, it wasn't on the radar. So for you to just say the word, I think in this in number 8 lesson is the start for anybody, and just a good reminder. Wow, I didn't think about restraining myself.
Interesting. And are you, since you've had a chance to work a little bit, do you feel more free using that restraint?
Definitely. It is something that is actually kind of the opposite, because I go to yoga as much as I can, and in yoga, of course, the breath is something that we do in meditation, but
right.
What this particular yoga says instead of restraint, she says, accept what you are doing today. Don't go for the flash in the pan of, I made that pose. So I guess it's the opposite of restraint. It's just accept.
Accept in the moment, which is another way of getting away from the want, whatever that wanting mind was, right? Because it's something that you're usually wanting in the future. So she's bringing you skillfully to the present moment by saying accept and allow what's right here, whatever your feelings are in your body, versus going for that pose, which is an outcome.
Right. Don't judge. Just be happy with what you're doing right now.
Yeah. That's nice.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Linda.
Thanks, Linda. Thanks for calling.
That was a great example of cause and effect.
Yeah.
But another thing I wanted to mention, I was telling you about this admirable friend at work, but I sort of like spoke to her about, you know, helping me out, you know, as far as, look, I'm trying to eat well because, I mean, my department's notorious for having, I mean, always having foods and sweets in the break room. And
yeah, you guys have birthdays every day.
Oh, my gosh. It's like I've never... It's ridiculous, and any kind of to celebrate, and it's always, you know,
cakes
and there's
cookies.
Some that really are great bakers that love to just make things that are so over the top. But I remember saying to her, I said, look, I need your help. You know, I need you to help me. And she fessed up and said, well, I'm actually, you know, watching what I'm eating too, so I want you to help me. And so that was sort of like my accountability buddy there, that we were going to help each other out. And so that was pretty good.
So we certainly have the practical side of restraint can be used through exercise and diet, is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
very tangible. Our listeners, our practitioners, our admirable friends can use this mind quality as part of their exercise or diet nutrition.
Wouldn't you say restraint is one of the most obvious examples?
Yeah, but like she said, that's why I asked her. You know, she said it's something I wouldn't have thought about. Oh, wow, restraint. Yeah. You know? So it isn't as obvious as you would think.
Right. I don't know, just kind of hit me like that. It's like, geez, it seems, I don't know why it's...
Why don't people don't want to do
it? Why is it so difficult?
Difficult to execute or difficult to want to motivate yourself to do it?
Guess both.
Okay. I mean, well, first of all, if you're ignoring it or the need to do it, you've got no chance.
Right, because you're in denial and
denial,
you might as well.
Denial, that isn't going to work. And I would say
that.
70-80% of friends that we meet every day are in denial relating restraint.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay. So now we pick it up, and I think it only becomes difficult when we attach to the outcome of how much we want to restrain and how soon we want to, much like her yoga teacher was teaching her. I think we have to bring it to the moment and do as best we can, restrain, and then start again. That's the beauty of this practice. You start again.
But you know, the real beauty too is once you restrain or show restraint in one instance, it does, it's
choo-choo train.
It is the choo-choo train, but it's compounded like interest. You know, you can pull more and more and more, and it does get empowering. It's like, I can do this. This is not...
But again, be careful, because now when you say I can do it and you don't...
Now, then you get that false sense of security, and the fall is a little bit bigger, and then you beat yourself up and you start the whole...
It's not a perfect linear climb, this practice, and I don't think we should lead our listeners to believe that.
No.
There's a staircase of life here. You know, you go up and then you...
Plateau for a while.
Yeah, you make some bad habits and you go on. Now, I would say the more we can become, as a group, more admirable friends, the better chance we all have of helping each other make it more linear. It's definitely down to support, Carol.
That's why I think...
Look at Linda's example,
your
example at work,
example. It's crucial.
It's crucial that we have other people on the similar path helping us. Right? Or else you'd think you're crazy doing this stuff. Why not go to the ice cream aisle at Walmart and have at it? It's the biggest aisle out there. Is it double wide or triple wide?
What we just talked about this weekend, on one side is the pizza, frozen pizza, and on the other side is the ice cream.
Have
it's
at
the
it,
widest
baby.
Aisle.
They see you coming.
It's amazing. It was like, huh, I didn't realize that. Now I want to go just to check it out.
Yeah. Well, you've got to step out, and you need others to help you with it. And you have to have an attitude that basically says, I'm okay. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to put some effort forward, and I'm going to do the best. And admirable friends are there to say, it's okay to make a mistake. I hope that's what we're doing.
I feel that. I feel that's what we're doing. I feel that we're surrounding ourselves with people that say, yeah, I make those mistakes too. And
because wanting to restrain and not attaining restraint is the same wanting of a donut.
Yes.
A want is a want.
Yes.
So yeah, we have to be really careful of that wanting mind. It kind of it slithers right back in. And so it's the wanting mind that is what we're looking to get at, and catching it and letting it go. And then you have to be honest. Wow, I do want a lot. I do expect a lot. That's okay. Then I got to start working at that. I think most of it is from denial, at least in my practice case. I denied a lot of my wants for a long time. And I come up with another storyline of why I needed or, worse yet, deserved all these things.
Hmm.
That's the seeds of entitlement. I believe I'll start with that wanting mind. So other tips that we can add to the...
And we're going back to the members of the Committee of the Mind, all those board members that are up there just, you know, reeking.
Let's talk about those board members again.
Okay.
Each one of those voices is a past craving that was probably met, or it wouldn't have a place on the table.
Well, right.
It's a past desire.
If it's happened once, guess what? It can happen again.
So you've reinforced that board member's.
You create a monster, literally.
You create a monster in your head that says, yes, it
you
works.
You can have that, don't you? You had it before. You only had one.
And that's why the trade is so important to cultivate that other board member that's going to give us at least the space to think what Linda was talking about. Remember, because all we're doing with that board member of meditation or any contemplative practice is creating space to choose. The choice comes after that. The critical thinking, the better choice, the functional thinking. You know, all of this tips that we're giving people right now, like a layered cake, come on top of that space.
Right.
We still got to, before we cross the street, you know, stop and look both ways.
Right. The other board member is being cultivated so that he could be the voice of reason. Now, wait a minute here.
Yeah. So that board member that stops and looks both ways, I call him the chairman of the board, because I think he or she is the most important member, because without that space, then you can't make any choice. That's where I started the show with the gratitudes. I'm grateful for that board member.
The space is important. That's key. That's where all the...
Especially when the storm is unbelievable, when you've got that real particular want. You know, you've got a really good board member. I don't mean good. Actually, he's a rotten little guy who's won a number of times hijacking your mind and saying, this is what you need, buddy.
Convincing you.
You know, he's like a corrupt city council member. You're going to need a little bit of space to deal with that guy. And then you just say, no, not listening to you today. Like, then you'll do some critical thinking like Linda suggested. Maybe I should consider the costs of eating this way or consider the costs of not exercising. All that is not rocket science, is it?
No, and the thing is, once you don't knuckle under to his strong-arm tactics, you find life goes on. Like, you didn't right. shrivel up and die.
That's why you shoot holes in his argument.
You know,
how do you even have this dialogue with this person without quieting your mind? That's what I don't understand.
Right, but that goes back to what I was saying about the definition when you said the ability to choose under control.
Right. But again, if you're going to choose in real time, or more importantly, intentionally before you do it, all right?
You have to create a space.
You've got to create space. It's either that or it's another narrative that you've come up with after the fact, and then you're saying, well, I should have done this or I should have done that, and then you're having this dialogue after you've already, you know.
Well, that's way too stressful.
Right.
So you just added more.
All of that critical thinking needs to take place from an intention standpoint. And the condition precedent that would be look. And so that's why I think it's important to befriend your body first and foremost. That's your bridge to the now. That's your way to get current, get present, is to develop friendship with the body and the breath. So you can just remember, if you're feeling your body, even your posture, you can't be thinking too much at the same time.
Right.
So that's the shift of conversation that we say Amable Friends does.
What else do we have for tips on craving? What
we
else
look
can
for
you
what me? Comes along with the craving. For example, when we're sleepy, we see the sensual thoughts that accompany this state. That's interesting. I've seen that in my practice too. It's not just one craving.
When you're sleepy, what do you mean?
Well, you notice that when you're tired, that you're weak, right? So you start working on the aspect of being tired.
So you're more susceptible to
bad choices, poor choices, like you're more susceptible in front of a television to poor choices.
That's
so you have to look at the accompanying cascade that's associated with those choices. Again, it's environmental. And sometimes it's the conditions that you're in. You know, I get home at night at 6 o'clock and I'm exhausted from work. If I don't figure out something else to do, I'm a sitting duck.
Yeah. I think that's the same thing too with food too. If you don't have anything planned and you're willing, you know, you just grab anything. So
I think
it's very
fast
hard
food
to show
was made over that, wasn't it?
Fast foods was designed over that.
Right. To take advantage of our cravings. And again, we deny it all we want to, but we're eating all this fast food, consuming all this.
Well, it's accessible and it's fast.
But we gave into our cravings and we didn't exercise restraint. That's the cold hard facts.
Yeah.
We,
it is.
Us, me, you, all of us, every one of us helped create this industry of instant. Because we just want it more and more. As the cravings get hotter and hotter and as they hijack your mind, you want it more instantly. You want to bring the pleasure even closer to the craving. So it's like a toxicity. So you, now that you've had this craving, let me have the next one.
Don't you think too? There's a lot of media push that creates a feeding frenzy. There's a lot of stimuli externally that creates that making a decision, wanting it, having it now, you know, this is your last chance, order now in the next 5 minutes.
Yeah, so it's a time. But as to this point, it's also an association. That's what the Happy Meal is about. They add the French fries with the hamburger. So not only are you getting the grease and the nice taste there, you're getting a little bit here. So you now associate. And by the way, you got something to wash it down with. Brilliant way of playing with our minds and hijacking our freedoms. Yeah. Except they didn't do it to us.
Right.
We allowed it to be done.
We did. I let them do it to me more than once. I'll tell you that one. So are we still on some of the tips?
Yep. Next one. Go ahead. We got about 5 minutes left, so.
Oh, okay.
See if we can't.
I was thinking of like, it's like, if you could equate it to like training as an athlete. You know, if you knew you were going to be running a marathon, there are certain things, mechanisms you'd put into place.
Yeah.
To optimize your running. I mean, you wouldn't be eating badly. You wouldn't be wearing bad shoes. You wouldn't be, you know, doing certain things that would compromise your outcome of wanting to be, to at least show up for the marathon. I mean, to say you're going to win or whatever. I mean, just to actually run it is a feat in itself.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of reliable happiness, that's sort of like the same equation.
If you can put that in that as your goal, it's wonderful.
You know,
I often wonder, reliable happiness is my heart trigger. Is yours reliable happiness, or does it sometimes authentic living authentically? Does that mean more to
you? I fall back to authentic living.
Yeah.
That's
very close.
Good.
I mean, they're just words. Yeah. But what that means to you is that notion of authenticity, right? You keep thinking about that.
I do. And that resonates with me. When I hear it, that's something that I connect with.
Yeah.
So I think probably it connects differently.
Alex and I had this conversation today. He was talking about, he's really into asking questions and being intention. And I said, well, that's intention. He's aware of the questions he's asking. And, you know, like he asks his son when he gets home from school, what questions did you ask the teacher? Which is brilliant because it lets us know whether he's thinking or not. But I use the word intention. He goes, no, that's questions to me. I said, okay, to me, that's intention. What's your question?
Just,
it works for him.
Huh.
Let's go through these three key restraints.
Okay. So,
these are the,
well, one of them that kind of jumped out at me, one of the three keys to restraints was stop measuring how successful our life is by how well our desires are met.
Yeah.
That's kind of telling right there for me. It's like, yeah. I mean, if you're doing a checkoff list, like a gain and loss column, and success is by, you know, what pleasures did I check off the list and attain.
That's pretty scary to take that to your deathbed.
That's running, that's putting a lot of pressure and stress on yourself, I think.
So that's one of the key restraints.
Yes.
Let go of our attachment to being right. I'll grab that one.
Okay.
It's because I need to work on that a lot.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think I like being right?
No.
Oh,
I don't think you're attached. I don't think you're as detached as you think you are.
Okay. And the last one.
This
would be a drama queens.
Yeah, give up being the star of your own movie. You know, anybody that's got
All those drama queens out there.
Yeah, it's all about. What is it? It's all about enough about me. What do you think about me? Somebody said that line. I can't remember. Anyways, that's too cool.
So yeah, those are the three key restraints. And why don't we close with a couple of good quotations? You want to take one?
Do you want me to do the first one?
Sure.
Okay. The first one is actually a quote from Corinthians. And it's, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things.
That's chapter 1, verse 9, Corinthians.
What have you got for us?
I've got a quote from the Pali Canon by the Buddha. And it says, even I myself, before my self-awakening thought, restraint is good, seclusion is good. But my heart didn't leap up at restraint, didn't grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. The thought occurred to me, what is the cause? What is the reason? Why my heart doesn't leap up at restraint, doesn't grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. Then the thought occurred to me. I haven't seen the drawback of sensual pleasures. I haven't understood the reward of restraint. I haven't familiarized myself with it. That's why my heart doesn't leap up at restraint, doesn't grow confident, steadfast, or firm, seeing it as peace. That was before his awakening. He just said that he hadn't understood the reward of restraint.
That's
and
nice.
He hadn't familiarized
Those
himself.
Those are two great little tidbits you pulled out.
So the ticket to restraint is just familiarize yourself with it.
So is the call to action for this week, try a little bit more restraint and see how it works?
Yeah, with that intention in mind, I think it'd be a great practice. Really, really good practice. Terrific. Well, admirable friends, we're going to sign off. If you want to visit us, hello, or send us an email at hello@admirablefriends.org. We really appreciate you.
We do. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We look forward to being with you next Tuesday night.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.